Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It's time for another fabulous edition of the fun-loving, frolicking, on the record podcast series by the two Mikes, who are, of course, you and I.
That's right, with our friends at Audio Boom.
Indeed.
Very good indeed. And thank you very much to everybody who's been in touch lately, telling us how much they're enjoying them.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you this. We're enjoying making them, so we're delighted you're enjoying listening to them. In fact, wasn't there a group of lads who were out on a holiday somewhere recently?
They were. They were either out in Greece or Spain or somewhere like that, on a golfing trip, and they were all sitting around the swimming pool. Clearly recovering from the night before.
Yes, well, that's what you do when you go on holiday.
Yeah. Listening to the podcast.
Brilliant.
En masse.
And I feel a bit guilty. I keep getting people saying that when they're listening to them on their headphones all that, they suddenly burst out laughing when they're in the supermarket queue.
Well, you know, the funny
thing
is...
And get thrown out of supermarkets.
The funny thing is we forget, right? Mm. I mean, because we record these... Yeah. We forget sometimes what we've talked about.
Absolutely.
I mean, we always kind of know roughly, but I listen back to them sometimes a week after we've recorded it.
Yeah.
And I think, blimey, that actually was rather good.
It was,
But we shouldn't sit around here congratulating each other.
No, we're not going to self-congratulate. We are striving for excellence all the time. Yes. We want to make them better and better.
I must say, I was very, very pleased, but quite surprised to see you sending out a very... sort of praiseworthy tweet the other day about me saying that my show was rather sterling.
Well, the thing
is... To which somebody responded, does that mean he falls over a lot and doesn't actually score any goals?
Well, the thing is, I believe in examining the quality of all the broadcasting I listen to.
Indeed.
Okay? And, of course, you work for a number of stations, TalkSport, Talk Radio, and if people have been nominated for the quality of their programmes, then I believe in the interest of fairness, you should have been nominated amongst our other colleagues, who are, of course, very
indeed.
Good.
They are.
Maybe but anyway, listen, I'm going to make an absolutely prophetic statement now, okay?
Are you?
This broadcast will be released on Thursday morning, okay?
Yes, okay.
The next episode of The Bodyguard, which has me absolutely riveted, so much so that I've watched the last two episodes twice.
Have you?
To try and... because...
Why?
Well, the first time I watched both of them, I was bladderated.
Yeah, right.
And it's such a complicated plot, seriously, that I was trying to sort
of... Well, I mean, to me, it's bloody awful, right? The reason I think it's awful... Is because none of it rings true. And I mean, even people who actually liked it, who were raving about it, who I was arguing with for ages and ages about it, saying it was absolute rubbish, even they, after the last episode, have gone, actually, you know what, you were right.
Well,
it's absolutely hit the skids.
Do remember, please, because his book was serialised only this week. Alan Johnson, a former Labour Home Secretary.
Former postman.
He was a postman, then he was in the Postman's Union, then he became like a big cheese in the trade union movement. Then
he was Home Secretary at one point, wasn't he?
I've just said that to you. I just said who was Home Secretary.
Okay.
That's the whole point of the story.
Right.
Because in The Bodyguard, Keely Hawes is the Home Secretary.
Yeah, you like her, don't you?
I do like her. I think she's a very attractive woman. She was seen coming out of
I don't fancy her at all.
She was seen coming out of Scots of Mayfair quite recently, just ahead or just behind her fellow actor, the bodyguard himself.
Well, do you think there's something going on there? Or do you think it's just a publicity stunt?
No, I'm not suggesting that. But there's 10 years between them. And
what age is she then?
She's about 42.
Is she?
And
she looks older to me.
Well, it doesn't to me. She was in The Durrells, of course, which
is that
Sunday night thing.
I didn't watch that.
Garbage, absolute trash.
I didn't
you know,
watch it.
About this, you know, this idyllic lifestyle. We moved to this Greek island, lived in a ramshackle house
Wasn't
with no running
to be a true
water.
Story, though?
Yeah, it was a true story about the Dorrell family. Yeah, that's right. But it was rubbish. But anyway,
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a coincidence that she's pictured out on the town with the very man, who's her bodyguard in real life, who she's shagging in the show.
That's right.
I mean, what a load of rubbish.
It just so happens a photographer was standing outside Scott's when they came out.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a business. That's the business we're in. You know, we often, we don't ever ask people to stand outside buildings we're in to take pictures
Excuse
of us.
Excuse me. I don't remember the last time you and I were photographed coming out of Scott's with a well-known actress.
No, but but unfortunately, we were photographed one time, me staggering across Borough Market with drinks in my hand.
Yes.
And,
we
and,
also,
and spilling them.
Foolishly, we're allowed people to film us coming off that plane from New York.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. That
people
was,
still talk about that.
That was a mistake, and yet months later, when we got hold of British Airways, they were still very friendly.
Oh, yeah,
so
they still are.
Great company.
Well, in fact, the last time I flew with British Airways, they were still being lovely to me.
Exactly.
So
very,
there was
very
no harm done.
Great airline, and I love them to bits.
It is the first time, though, I've been so bladderated that I actually got off the plane without any of my stuff.
No, well, that's right. Well, that's why the hostess brought it all for you. And they came, there's me fucking clothes, there's me fucking suit.
Steady.
You were less than gentlemanly on that occasion.
That's not true. They were very happy with it.
They were very good. Anyway, getting back to the bodyguard, I'm now going to make the prophetic statement.
Are you?
Right. Keely Hawes, as the Home Secretary. Yeah. What's the name of her character?
I can't remember.
Neither can I, so it doesn't matter because she's
Keely Hawes. Secretary. Doesn't matter.
We call her the Home Secretary, well, of course, she would be, if she went to America and she was, you know, talking
Madam
to the Secretary,
Secretary
of State, she would be Madam Secretary, quite right, indeed. And so she's been shagging her bodyguard, right? And by the way, when you look at it in real life, you can't think of a Home Secretary of the female persuasion in the past that you'd actually be tempted to want to get in flagrato with, could you?
Well, I don't know. You say
Jackie
that.
Smith was quite an attractive
Jackie
lady
Smith,
whose
no.
husband used to watch porn films.
No, that's not my type at all. I mean, Amber Rudd, you could say, was not unattractive.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't be... this is very sexist to be saying, you know, would you fancy a Home Secretary or not?
Right.
Actually, there's an MP down in Portsmouth, near where I live, named Penny Mordaunt.
Penny Mordaunt,
and she went in the celebrity show Splash, right?
So she did, yeah.
So she had to put a bathing costume on.
Yeah.
And the woman has a fine figure, I have to say.
You think so?
That's
I know
right,
somebody who knows she's quite good friends with her.
Really?
Do you want me to get you a date?
No, come on.
No, apparently she has great difficulty in finding genuinely nice people to go out with.
Oh, well, you know, we know where one is, like, sitting there. Right, now
I'm not available.
Now then, what I was going to say is, so my prophetic statement, which I've been trying to get round to since the start of this show, the prophetic statement is,
what is it?
That Keely Hawes as Home Secretary will reappear in the last episode, which is on Sunday this
week. Will she?
She will.
Rubbish.
And it's a 75-minute programme, so most programmes are 60, so it's an hour and a quarter.
Right.
And do you know why?
Why?
I've got all the clues. Right, first of all...
Okay, one...
One, we never, ever saw her being admitted to hospital.
Right.
Two, we never saw those dramatic scenes you would see of surgeons trying to save a life in the operating theatre, OK?
Well, yeah, but why wouldn't you? Because you could have still seen those... Hang on, you could have still seen those scenes without witnessing her death.
No, no.
And that could still have... No. You could have brought her back.
No. Three, her death was announced only to her former husband, OK?
Right.
Who is now the chief whip, OK?
Right.
Taking her mother into the hospital.
Oh, I didn't know he was her former husband.
Yeah, former husband, the
really?
Chief whip.
Well,
yeah, the nasty
guy.
Bastard.
Oh, right.
The really nasty bastard with the sharp chin and the sharp nose. Yeah. Chief Whip, he's her former husband.
I didn't get that.
Oh, yeah, well, that's why she's single. They split up, you see.
Well, see, that's the problem with watching these shows bladderated.
Yeah.
You miss some of the details.
Well, that's why I say I was bladderated watching the last two, and I watched them again when I was sober.
Okay. When was that then?
That's about 11 o'clock a.m. You know what I mean? Before he start the cycle all over again.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had
you're watching during daylight.
I had a lunchtime rendezvous with Mr. Brazil this
week. Really?
And
you're lucky you survived that one.
You know, as usual, it went well, but didn't go well. If you
yes,
know what I mean.
I can
but
understand.
Anyway, let me tell you. So we didn't see it in the operating theatre.
Yeah.
A death was only told to her former husband and not to her wider family, right? The
yeah, but it was announced to the general public as well.
Not before it was announced to her bodyguard, who was also injured in the explosion.
Yeah, okay.
And he wanted to know why wasn't I told. I was nearly killed in the explosion as well.
Mm.
We were then told it was a quiet family funeral.
Yeah.
Now, if she was such a central character still, her death to this plot, we'd have seen all of that. We'd have seen the operating theatre. We'd have seen her death. We'd have seen the funeral.
No.
We'd have seen everything. She is coming back in the last episode.
Well, let me do the reverse ferret job on you. Yeah. Surely if you were going to fake somebody's death and you were going to make everybody believe that she was actually dead, you would do all of those things. You would show her in the room, show her being operated on.
No.
You would show the concerned looks on the eyes of the surgeons, you know, the horror as they try to save
Britain's most famous. That's in real life.
No, I know that.
But I'm talking about the drama of the TV production is that they missed all that out to give us all a clue. She must be coming back in the last episode.
No.
How can you have the lead actress, Kelly Hawes, not even in the last three episodes?
Because we're told it's Keeley, isn't it?
What did I say?
You said Kelly.
Oh, yeah, Keeley Hawes, that's right, yeah. H-A-W-S,
Also, they say they're going to do a second series.
Yes.
Now, what's not clear is whether the second series will be about... Because don't forget, it's not called The Home Secretary, the show.
No,
it's called The Bodyguard.
That's right.
So maybe the star of the show is not Keeley Hawes, it's actually the fucking Bodyguard,
absolutely.
Right? So the main series is about him.
Yeah.
So the next series will be about him guarding somebody else.
No, I don't think it will. I think it'll be a developing relationship. I think she'll become Prime Minister, you see, because she was about to make the bid to become Prime Minister when the bomb went off.
Well, because we're made to believe that those people who didn't want her to become Prime Minister could be responsible.
Exactly, except the bomb wasn't in the briefcase. You know that,
don't
you?
No, I do know that.
Right,
the bomb was under the stage.
It was a pressure bomb.
Right.
And,
but hang on, but she is right over it, right? Because
what you
do see, the last time you see her face is as the bomb explodes.
That's right.
And right where she is.
Yes, that's right.
So of course she's fucking dead.
No, she's not. She's not dead.
She is.
Right, I'm telling you.
I would put good money on the fact that she's still alive.
No,
not that she's dead.
I know these things better than you. Believe me, I do.
When was the last time you correctly predicted anything?
I do that often.
Really?
So I think she's coming back, right? So the last episode, I believe, will lead her to becoming Prime Minister. And then what they'll do is, in the next series, it won't be called The Bodyguard.
What will it be called?
It will be called something like The Prime Minister or something like that. They'll switch it.
Well, that's not the same show.
And anyway, listen, there are still so many unanswered questions. So the bodyguard himself, the Scots gay, 31.
Right.
Yes, Mom.
Yeah.
No, Mom.
Yeah.
Mom.
Yes.
Mom. You know, and all that.
Uh-huh.
He gets tough with all the other guys, bends her arm up their back. I'll break your fucking arm, you twat, you know, and all that
and
sort of stuff.
Except it didn't work, though, because the guy goes in to talk, and he doesn't talk about how he tried to kill the Home Secretary.
No.
He starts coming up with all sorts of other cobblers.
No. He said, I wanted to humiliate her because she spurned my advances.
Yeah, but that's not what he wanted him to confess,
is it? No, he did. He wanted him to make his position clear in the whole plot, okay?
Right.
He did. No, he did. But what I don't get is that, you know, so you've got an attractive Home Secretary, and if we're led to believe that this is real life, it means that half of Parliament is trying to shag the Home Secretary all the time,
well,
you know.
What,
and the bodyguard's done it, but the special advisor got spurned, so he was part of a plot to get rid of her. Ludicrous.
But there's a lot more shagging going on in Parliament than you know about.
Well,
because we
ask
don't
John
all...
Major.
Yeah, well, ask John Major. Ask any number of people who have been caught out, but also the ones who have not been caught out are still at it. And you know why? It's a bit like newspapers. You're working very late hours.
That's
you're
right.
socialising together.
Yeah.
There are bars inside the Houses of Parliament where only people who work there can go.
That's right.
There's a myriad of people who are absolute political geeks.
Yeah.
And as a friend of mine says, you know, politics is like showbiz for ugly people,
right?
So what they basically do is they're all infatuated with each other.
That's right.
It doesn't matter how ugly the Prime Minister is or how ugly this Home Secretary is. There are loads of people lining up to shag him.
Well, do you remember Shagger Norris?
What?
Shagger Norris.
Shagger Norris,
Steve Shagger Norris, who I once employed at TalkSport. That's right.
Yeah.
To do a Sunday morning show.
He was actually good at TalkSport. I thought he was good.
He was all right, but again, because he's a politician, he would never make a decision one way or the other. He'd say, that's a very interesting theory, and I think you have some substance for that. Yeah, but do you believe in, you know, we should put taxes up or put them down, Mr. Norris? Well, there's an argument either way. That's what they always say, footballers and politicians, politicians in particular. But Shagger Norris,
well, footballers will never give up their mates, will they? Whereas politicians will.
Shagger Norris was shagging half of these.
Are you sure it's okay to call him that still?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He was a shagger. He had six girlfriends.
But in those days, you could call people that. It's like Paddy Pantsdown.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, old, you know, Paddy.
All right, well, let
me
tell you this. When he was known as Shagger Norris, okay, when he was known as Shagger Norris in those years, he had about six girlfriends on the go at once.
Right.
He sometimes had two dinners a night to entertain two different women and all this kind of stuff. And when we employed him at TalkSport, you know, I said, oh, Steve, how's it going? He says, it's going very well, but of course, you know, working all week in Parliament, then coming here on Sunday. But if Mrs. Norris wants a new kitchen, and I'm thinking, Which Mrs. Norris are we talking about here? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, look at David Mellor. I mean, the idea that this guy can get to shag anybody is only due to the fact that he was a cabinet minister.
Yeah.
Otherwise, nobody had gone near him.
I told you the story about him, didn't I? When we took him on once at Talksport as well.
So did you have to buy him cigarettes?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he tried to make me. So the boss of the company then said this would be a great coup because, amazingly, he'd done the 606 football phone.
Yeah, that's right.
Even though...
Well, actually, again, not a bad guy on the radio.
Not a bad guy on the radio
Chelsea
at all.
Fan, wasn't he?
Even though, mostly, he's known for his love of opera and he's an expert in opera and he's obviously a barrister.
He's also known for the football kit story, which turns out not to be true.
No, that was Max Clifford, you know, the late Max Clifford.
Yeah.
Oh, he took his shirt off and he had his Chelsea, which any man wears a football shirt under their white shirt. It was ludicrous.
Yeah.
And by the way, if I'd have been the editor of the paper that published that, I'd have been shamefaced because it was clearly so stupidly not true.
Yeah.
And that's why Mellor never even protested about it. He thought, if I protest about it, people think it's true and it's not, you know. But you're right. And he was not a great-looking guy.
He certainly was not.
Mr. Mellor. And he had sort of buck teeth and glasses.
Yeah.
When he got the job as
Minister... But he looked like your typical political geek.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
You know.
And when he got the job as Minister of Culture, he described it as... Yeah, I'm the new minister for fun. We're all going to have a lot of fun.
Mm.
Well, in fact, the fun he was having was
with Antonio Di Sanchez.
He was shagging Antonio Di Sanchez on a mattress in a bedsit somewhere in London.
Somewhere in Chelsea, wasn't
that
it?
He was paying for. Yeah. That's right, just to go there and get his rocks off with old Antonio, you know. And of course, Max did the usual thing, had Antonio photographed sitting on his lawn in St George's Hill having tea. He was looking after the rest of her life and all that, you know. But Mellor could never get it right. But the one that really amused me, of course, was John Major and, you know, Egg Woman.
Egg Woman, that's right. Salmonella. Edwina Curry.
Edwina Curry, right? And do you know what?
You'd never have guessed that, would you?
In a million years that John Major would be so bold as to put his hand on her knee or something like that. And that she, you know, always talking about her macho husband who liked a pint of beer and went down to the pub with the boys and played golf and all that.
Mm.
You think, well, he played too much golf then because while you're playing golf, John Major was shagging your wife, you know.
you put it so nicely.
Yeah, yeah. But but amazingly, right, an old colleague of ours, Tim Miles, during all the old salmonella and all that kind of stuff, he had to go and see her, you know, she's making some great statement and all that.
Right.
And when I saw him a couple of days later, he said, God, he said, I went to see Edwina Curry in her office in Whitehall. And I said, he said, do you know what? She's the sexiest woman I've ever met.
Really?
I said, what? He said, there's something about her. Yeah. I mean, you know, she just has it. You know, there was something there. He said, yeah.
How bizarre.
I couldn't stop thinking about her for days afterwards.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, yeah.
Talking of shagging stories, by the way, quick one.
Yeah.
You know these storage places where you go and store your stuff?
Yes, that's right, called self-storage.
Self-storage, right? Mm. Heard a great story because my daughter, of course, is moving.
Oh, yes.
And so she's been backwards and forwards to one of these storage places. Mm. And she always asks me if they've got any stories in the story place to talk about.
Mm.
And apparently they said, oh, yeah, they discovered that there was a guy who rented a storage space, right?
Yeah.
Put a bed in it.
Yeah.
And he used to bring women there to shag them.
Good God.
And he was clearly married.
Yeah.
But he would bring these girlfriends there. But who would do that?
So a big storage cupboard.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what?
I mean, there's no windows, right? It's practically a sealed fucking unit.
No,
so there's no air. There's no air in it.
But no.
You shut the door. Right, you have to have a light, presumably.
No, let me tell you. Because I have got places around the country where things are stored, like furniture
and
all that.
Well, you've got several of these, have you?
Well, more my family who let out student lets down in Bournemouth have a number of them because, you know, you have to move furniture around all the time and all that kind of stuff.
I might come to you for a lamp.
Yeah, okay, a lamp. And let me tell you that, in the old days, they were sealed units and all that, but now there's usually a gap of 3 inches at the bottom and 6 inches at the top for air and circulation.
Yeah.
And so if you're getting up to that, mate, somebody else around, other people would hear you.
Well, no, I mean, the last one I went to, there was nothing like that.
Right.
It was a sealed room.
I see,
But there would be no air in it.
No.
I mean, you'd be lucky if you didn't suffocate.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Anyway, once again, we seem to have degenerated into, rather than talking sort of Porky right. Vision style. It wasn't a Porky Vision, by the way.
No.
That was your prediction.
Oh, that's right, yeah,
that,
absolutely.
The Home Secretary yes. is going to come back to life miraculously. Here's my yes. prediction for
okay,
you, while
on.
We stay on the subject of the bodyguard.
Right.
I reckon, and I've always been suspicious mm. of the girl, because there was a Twitter theory, not the last show, but the one before,
yeah.
when the bomb went off and they were all trying to work out who was responsible, mm, right?
Mm.
Did you see that picture
mm.
In which it looked very like the girl from the Range Rover,
yes.
you know, the fired
yes,
aid?
Yes, yes.
She appeared to be standing sort of backstage.
Right.
You could just see a kind of silhouette of her face, but it looked like her. And the thinking being that it's something to do with her, because she's a very rum character.
Well, she tried to tap up the bodyguard in
yes,
the last episode.
She did.
And then he watched her as
but,
she went
but
out.
He, yeah, she got, but then she got back in the Range Rover.
And the Range Rover belonged to a gangster.
Yes. It's mm. a very, very interesting sort
yeah.
of twist there. And
yeah.
I think you're going to find that she mm. will be blamed for the murder.
Right.
And that she is the one responsible for the death mm. of the Home Secretary. She ain't coming back to life anytime soon.
Quite well, no, she is. I believe she will. And I believe I will be vindicated by the time you and I are on there next. Now,
well, we shall see.
Now, talking about, still about Keely Hawes, because
yeah.
it is a programme everybody's talked about.
It is. Actually, it is being watched by more people than anybody else. 8 million, I think.
8.4 million is
yeah.
amazing in this day
it
and
is.
Age. I mean, Morecambe
yeah.
and Wise used to get 20 million 30 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
There were only three channels
but
in
also
those
there
days.
But there's nothing else to do.
No, there's nothing else to
everybody
do.
Everybody now is watching Netflix.
Of course they are.
They're watching YouTube.
Of course they are.
They're watching the Too
yeah.
Much TV.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
are.
They're definitely
you?
Watching Too Much
I'd
TV.
I'd rather watch Too Much TV than The Fucking Bodyguard.
And so would I.
Yeah.
So would I.
There
although, I wouldn't, you know, recommend having to eat all your food in the microwave kitchen all the time. But anyway, listen.
Yeah,
so what I'm saying is, so yesterday, our very good colleague, Kay Burley,
yes.
put out a tweet, of which I, you know, heartily approved,
yeah.
in which she saw a picture of Keely Hawes with the bodyguard
yes.
together, probably the same one I'm talking about, I'm coming out Scots.
Scots yeah.
yeah. So she says, what a fantastic show and all that, and I have to admit, the bodyguard guy, 31, has always been a crush of mine.
Oh, yeah.
I find that perfectly acceptable,
yeah.
and I'm delighted that men and women can talk about each
really?
Other like that,
yeah,
you know,
okay.
and it's all a bit of, you know, sort of, you know, a wink-wink here and all
nudge,
that kind
nudge.
Of stuff. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So I immediately replied by saying, Kate, you are a very attractive woman, and
yeah.
in brackets, well, you know you
Did
are.
Did you think that might have been taken the wrong way?
No, not at all.
In this Me Too decade?
No, no, no.
You know?
No, no, because Kate wasn't being Me Too, was she, by saying, I fancy this bloke, you know?
Well, yeah, but that's
yeah.
different from you saying that she's a very attractive woman. That's quite sexist, that.
No, it's not.
I think it is.
I didn't, because I didn't say it. I said, you are recognised as an attractive
oh,
woman.
I see, right, okay.
And then in brackets, well, you know you are, you know, so that's all I said.
Well, so you were being complimentary.
I was being complimentary, absolutely.
All right.
So, so I
I'm
said,
sure she'd take that very well.
However, in this modern day and age,
yeah.
if I'd have said that Keely Hawes was my crush,
yes.
I bet you by now I'd be called a sexist pig by
yeah.
a lot of people
right.
and I'd be answerable to all sorts of
yeah,
people.
Yeah. Well,
I
you
said,
were quoted on Twitter this week
was
as well,
right.
Because the last time we did a Porky Vision on
yeah.
the bodyguard,
yeah.
I believe your phrase was, Keely Hawks, well, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
well,
that's,
did I?
That's what you said.
Did
Keely
I?
Hawes, sorry.
Keely Hawes.
You would, wouldn't you? That's
well,
your, that was your direct quote.
Well, all I meant by that was you would consider wanting a relationship with this woman, wouldn't you? You know, if she was single and you were. That's
really?
All. Yeah,
okay.
that's all I'm
all
talking
right.
about.
So long as we're
but
clear.
I mean, look, I've known Kay for years.
Yeah.
In fact, Kay comes from Wigan.
She comes from Wigan. She's, in fact, Wigan's most famous daughter, isn't she?
She's Wigan's most famous daughter, and the only thing more famous in Wigan
yeah.
is the factory
mm.
where they make Mike Porky Parry scratchings.
Is that right?
Yeah, and
yeah.
they're turning them out now by tens of thousands
How's
a week.
How's that business going?
Very well indeed.
I still haven't seen any money from it.
Very, well, you don't see the money, because it's my face on the front of the Porky Parry scratchings.
I thought
scratchings.
It was a Two Mics episode.
Well, you know,
Two Mics
there might be a dividend. There might be a dividend,
oh, I see.
You know,
okay,
so
right.
we'll talk about that. But,
it's not like you haven't gone like John Lewis and Partners or anything.
Well, you know, I can't talk about it because that's business.
Do you know what? I can tell you a story about John Lewis. You know
yeah.
how they've lost 99% of their fucking profit this year,
that's right?
Right,
yeah.
I can tell you exactly why that's happened.
Yeah, go
because
on then,
I
yeah.
went shopping the other day, which
right.
I don't do very often.
Mm.
And myself and my daughter went off to Westfield in Stratford. Right, so I thought, you know, I'm
yeah.
going to buy a new computer. I'm finally going to. I told you about my writing project,
mm.
which I've already started, by the way, you'd be pleased to know, because I've got the computer this week.
Well, you've got your laptop now, have you?
No, it's a desktop.
So,
I've
your
a
desktop?
Desktop. Yeah,
was it an Apple?
It's a beautiful iMac, yeah, it's really big screen. Something.
Oh.
It's fantastic. Wireless keyboard.
Well, I'm
going to
get
mouse.
One of those.
You should.
From the shop in Covent Garden.
Oh, you, no,
because
you can't. Because you know why? It's been shut down.
Oh, no.
It's
our
not
boys
there.
At TMTV said they're going to take me there and get it.
Oh, okay. Well, you'd have to carry it home, though, wouldn't you?
So where'd you get yours from?
Well, I got mine. Well, yeah, but I drove to. You can drive to Stratford, right?
Oh, okay.
And that way you can put it in your car. Which
well,
is
I bet you I can get one in stockbroker belt somewhere.
You probably can if you've got a Currys anywhere near you. You can get
yeah,
one there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I walk into John Lewis. It's a
yeah.
beautiful shop. I mean,
yeah.
it's got quite a big. You remember when I met you when we went to the West Ham game? inside Westfield.
Yes.
Inside that big shopping centre.
That's
and
right.
You were stand, where I was going to meet you was right by John Lewis.
Right, okay.
Before you disappeared off. Beautiful shop, you know, immaculately put together.
Yeah.
I go into the electronic place, which is full of these massive TVs worth about $4,000.
Yeah.
You know, these new 4K televisions, which look amazing, by the way. Anyway, I must have stood there for 10 minutes.
Mm.
Nobody came up to me to say, can I help you?
Yeah.
Not one person,
yeah.
right? There was a guy helping some bloke with a laptop over there, and there was another security guy who was kind of eyeing me suspiciously,
right,
as if I was going to nick something.
Well,
you know,
a suspicious-looking character.
Well, you know. Anyway, so Emma said to me, is there an Apple store here? Because I was getting, I was like, I want to spend more than 1,000 fucking quid here.
Mm.
What is wrong with these people, right?
Mm.
And so Emma said, is there an Apple store here? So we looked it up. Sure enough, there was. We walked straight out, straight to the Apple store, bought it there.
Right, okay.
So, you know,
Did you take it under your arm and take it out?
Well, they give it to you in a box with a handle.
And how did you program it in?
Well, the great thing about IMAX is that basically if you've got an Apple account, which I already have, because I've got an iPad, I've got an iPhone,
it pretty much
already copies all the stuff out of your cloud.
Right.
So, and it's a very straightforward machine.
It said, hey, you get off of my cloud.
Hey, hey, I think you're fine.
No, it's hey, you.
No, it's
you.
Not. It's hey, hey, he.
It's not.
It is.
It's hey, you.
I'm going to play
you.
It in a bit.
It's hey, you, get off of my cloud.
I'm going to play it in a bit.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
So it turns out... That's why they've lost 99% of their profit, because they're fucking useless.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You know? So we're all having a nice-looking shop.
The high street's completely fucked.
Yeah.
And Mike Ashley, of course, one of the brightest businessmen in the country, has gone and bought Debenhams, rivals to John Lewis.
He's going to keep it going, isn't he?
Well, he's going to keep some of the stores going, but...
Because later in life, I've just discovered Debenhams. I think it's quite a good shop.
Oh, it's quite a good shop. My mum worked there for 30 years.
The Debenhams of the North.
She worked in Browns and Chester, which was Debenhams, and the Harrods of the North.
Right.
But then,
well, surely it was the Debenhams of the North.
No, it was the Harrods of the North. But then when the family moved to the South Coast, she moved with them.
Yeah.
And then she worked in Debenhams in Bournemouth for about another 25 years.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't realise that.
Absolutely.
I didn't realise she'd been down there for that long.
My mum's been down in Bournemouth for nearly 30 years.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had no idea.
She worked till she was over 70 in Debenhams, you know, good employers.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, that's that story. But Mike Ashley, of course, very clever man.
Yeah.
In some way... Well, I mean, he's got the properties, hasn't he? He's got those, you know, those high street. And I bet you in times
what,
to come...
What, you mean like Sports Direct and all that?
No, I mean the Debenhams properties,
oh,
which are usually
mean.
In prime locations.
Yes, yeah. But well, the one I go to is a big one in Oxford Street.
Well, I was about to say, you can bet your life in years to come, they might be turned into flats worth £10 million.
That will be worth an absolute
each.
Fortune.
Of course it will.
Because what it backs onto, right, is just basically Harley Street.
That's right.
And that whole section there, which is prime real estate.
Duke Street, Harley Street,
yeah, Wigmore
Oxford
Street,
Wigmore Street, that's right.
I mean, it's
yeah.
a lovely part of the world if you are that way inclined.
I totally agree with you. But anyway, enough of all that.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about a chap who tragically died this week. His name is Kevin Beattie.
Kevin Beattie, yeah, footballer.
Now, Kevin Beattie was a footballer.
He played for Ipswich, didn't he?
He played for Ipswich. And
he died?
He's died.
I didn't know he died.
He died of a, quote, heart attack at home.
I had no idea.
Yes.
How did I miss that?
Well, I don't know, but Kevin Beattie was 64 years of age.
Okay.
He played with our colleague, Mr. Alan Brazil.
Indeed.
He was described by Sir Bobby Robson, the late Sir Bobby Robson, as the finest footballer to come out of this country post-Second World War, after George Best.
That's very high praise indeed.
He said his left foot was like a howitzer. He said he hit a ball so hard it would burst nets.
Yeah.
But he was the strongest and most resilient footballer he'd ever seen.
Mm.
The problem was with Kevin, having spoken to Al, and Al had told me this before, he was a very basic lad, and he had all sorts of problems about adjusting to life as a famous person, as a footballer, and all that. He came from Carlisle.
Right.
He was recruited by Bobby Robson.
Did he not play for England as well a couple of times?
Oh, yeah, 9 times.
Yeah.
But only 9 times, because unfortunately he had terrible knee injuries.
Mm.
In the same way that Mr. Brazil had to retire because of a back injury, Kevin Beattie had to retire because of knee injuries.
Mm.
In those days, when cartilage wore down, there was nothing much to replace it.
Right.
And they used to give you, like, injections which would, you know, get you through a game.
Which actually then crippled you for the rest of time.
The rest of your life, They used to burn through flesh, really, and all that kind of stuff, you know. But the point of my story is this.
Mm.
Al had told me, even before, sadly, Kevin Beattie died, what a wonderful footballer he was, but didn't play enough because of injuries and all that. Al played with him in 81 in the European UEFA Cup Championship, which Ipswich won.
Yes,
okay.
Right. That was like the old UEFA Cup,
that's
right?
That's it, absolutely.
Not the Cup Winners' Cup.
Absolutely. Yeah. But,
see, they're going to start some other competition now, which sounds mad to me.
Oh, no, there are only more competitions.
No, they want another bloody competition for European football.
No. Yeah, I want it, no.
Which is going to feed into, apparently, the Europa League.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea. Yeah. But anyway, getting down to Beattie. But Beattie had trouble adjusting to life. So in the same way Alan Brazil's plucked out of Glasgow and, Glasgow and ended up in Suffolk, Beattie was plucked out of Carlisle and ended up in Suffolk, right? But he simply could not adjust to sort of being out of Carlisle. Yeah. Sometimes he wouldn't turn up for training.
Right.
And then Bobby Robson instinctively knew where to find him, and he'd ring up the scout who'd found him in Carlisle. Yeah. So get down to the Pig and Whistle.
Right.
And there was Beattie sitting in the corner drinking pints with his mates, you know, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it was worse than that in a sense that he could never handle anything. He couldn't handle money. He'd never been paid more than a farm labourer's wage.
Mm.
And so when he got money, it just disappeared. And, for instance, the great story I've read this week in all the tributes was from... I've forgotten who the journalist is now, but I'll tell you in a sec. So what happens is, there's a one paragraph somewhere on a news agency that Kevin Beattie, who by now had been laid off by Ipswich because his knees suddenly had just got too bad, okay? Mm. He got offered a very small deal, like 50 quid a week, to play for a Norwegian second 11 side near Oslo.
Okay.
And they paid for him to fly out there.
Mm.
So as he goes to the airport, he goes to Luton to fly to Oslo.
Okay.
He's not allowed out of the country because of mounting library fines on books he's borrowed but never read and then lost and not taken back.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Well, why would he take books out of the library?
No idea. Right. He went to the library. Somebody said, go and get library books and read them. He took them out, never read them, lost them, threw them away or whatever. Library fines showed up on his record as he tried to get out of Luton.
Right.
And when they said, well, don't worry, it's only, you know, like £4.50.
Right.
He said, I haven't got £4.50. And he couldn't leave the country.
Blimey.
Until he arranged for somebody to pay the £4.50
That's
library
outrageous,
fine.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So he goes over. It's Martin Samuel. Martin Samuel of the Daily Mail. Very
erudite man.
Erudite and qualified sports journalist.
Yes.
So he goes over. And he eventually finds him in this little town where they play second division football, where he's getting 50 quid a week, right? And sits him down. He said, well, how did you end up here? He said, there was nowhere else for me to go. He said, the only people who offered me a game, I get 50 quid a week, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But out of that, they took like 25 quid for his accommodation, £10 for his food and all that. His whole life was
a
disaster.
And could he even play at that point? Because if his knees were so bad, he couldn't.
Well, it's a bit like Mr. Brazil when he retired at 27. You can't play at the highest level anymore. You haven't got the speed, you haven't got the strength, you haven't got the will. But you can play against second division Norwegian footballers because even him at 1/10 of the pace was better than a second division Norwegian footballer, you know what I mean?
I was talking to a guy in the office the other day who said he played in one of those kind of because I was recounting my five-a-side story against Ali McCoist,
where
I famously managed to nutmeg him.
Ali was around this week, by the way.
Did you see him? He's a good man. And he of course turned up to play for this other team in sort of a ringer. And this guy I was talking to was telling me about how he played once in a game, and it was 11-a-side game,
right?
And they didn't have that many players, sort of professional was on the other side. One of them was Jan Molby.
Right.
And he was told, and this guy, the guy I was talking to, said, look, he said, I haven't really played very much for a long time. He said, I'm not particularly fit. They said, don't worry, just hang around the centre circle, because that's where Jan Molby always hangs around.
That's
he
right.
doesn't move much either.
No.
And you can just mark him.
That's right.
And he said, every time I looked around, he wasn't there.
No.
And he said, the guy didn't move very much, but he fucking moved enough to the point where I could never catch up with him.
Exactly.
And he would just kind of, you know, walk 10 yards without me realising it, take the ball and then float it about 40 yards down the pitch.
That's right.
And then stand still again
People
for a while.
Understand the difference between
How
an amateur footballer and a professional footballer. Philip Hammond is not Philip Hammond, the Exchequer guy.
No.
But there's a guy who writes on the Times, he writes political pieces, and he used to be a speechwriter
for
Tony Blair.
Yeah.
And he went to Cambridge, as they all do.
Yeah.
All these guys, all these special advisors, all fucking go to Cambridge
or Oxford
or something like that. Oxford,
Well, you could have been one of them if you'd gone to Brasenose College.
Yeah, well, I turned down the interview, obviously. But anyway, at Cambridge, they actually played against Cambridge City, which wasn't even the league team.
Right.
They were like the team in the non-league.
Yeah,
you know, they were like like the league below the league.
Yeah, it's in league.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and they played Cambridge University in a pre-season friendly.
Right.
And this guy Hammond said, he said, of course, he said, I was playing fullback. He said, and I weighed up their winger, and he was only a young fella, about 17 or 18.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to fucking clatter him.
Yeah.
He said, the minute he got the ball, he was just limbering up to go in and dispossess him.
Yeah.
And he looked round, the bloke was 20 yards away from him, had gone and scored.
Right.
He didn't even see it. Yeah. I mean, that's the difference between professional and amateur footballers, you know? It just doesn't happen that you can suddenly turn yourself from one to the other.
Well, you're my friend and yours, Chris Williams, up in Scotland, as he is now. Once played a game at Upton Park, you remember him telling me, against some kind of journalist versus...
What's Chris doing these days, by the way?
I think he's retired.
I think he must have retired. Retired into the Scottish Lowlands, didn't
he? Yeah, well, he's got quite young children.
Oh, yeah, he has got a new family
and
of young children. Yeah.
I mean, I presume he's got a good pension for the Daily Mail.
He was once caught in a cupboard at the Daily Press, wasn't he?
He was actually caught in a rather unfortunate position in a wine bar, which more of which another time.
Oh, no, but definitely inside the Daily Express building. Oh, yeah.
Well, he was always at it.
Yeah, exactly. He was.
There's no hiding that particular fact.
At one time,
we were joking about how he was trying to go after everyone with a name of a European country.
Yeah.
Because there was a woman called France, if you remember. There was a woman called Holland. What was the other? English.
I
was saying, well, how many fucking countries are you going to go through
here?
It's like Hitler invading Europe. Enough of that. But he...
Ooh, what's your name? Lisa Holland.
That's right. And it turns out that he was playing against... One of the guys on the other team was Frank Lampard Sr.
Yeah, right.
You know, not Junior.
Right.
From West Ham.
Yeah.
And he said, I nutmegged him. And he said, but I don't know what happened after that. Because the next thing I knew, I was in the stands. He said he was in the fucking front row of the stadium.
Yeah, that's right.
Frank had taken umbrage of being nutmegged by this twat from this Daily Mail.
Yeah, that's right.
And he just clattered him.
Yeah.
And that was the end of his game. He said he literally kind of woke up in the seat. You know.
I once did a lot of work with Joe Cole, as you know.
Yes.
And just sitting next to Joe, and everybody thinks Joe's a small guy.
Yeah,
I think he's about 5'7".
Yeah.
And I'm 5'8¾".
Oh, yeah.
But Joe was like twice as broad as me, but he didn't have an ounce of fat, you know what I mean?
No.
And these guys are huge. First time I met Paul Merson, Paul's about 6'1".
Yeah.
It's not just their height, it's the bulk of their body, which has become so
well-developed. Well, even Tony Cascarino, who hasn't played for a while. I mean, he's a big guy.
Big guy.
And your good mate Andy Townsend.
Andy Townsend.
I mean, I've never seen legs like
I totally agree,
He can't. He must have to buy special trousers.
Well, they must have.
Because the thighs are so wide.
Amazing,
you know?
Amazing guys. And, of course, Peter Crouch now has got a book out.
Yeah.
It's called How to Be a Footballer.
Yeah.
It's very amusing.
I like Peter Crouch.
And, of course, he's 6'7", but a very nice guy.
He is a very nice guy. Well, I mean, unfortunately, we're out of time.
Yeah.
So we'll have to come back again and do some more of these on the records, because we've got so many stories to tell. People keep saying, you're going to run out of stories at some point.
No, never.
We're never going to do that.
Believe me.
Absolutely right.
We are like Saudi Arabia and oil. It'll never stop.
Yeah. Dictators. The two mics.
You can't think of a Home Secretary of the female persuasion in the past that you'd actually be tempted to want to get in flagrato with, could you?
Well, I don't know. You say
Jackie
that.
Jackie Smith was quite an attractive
Jackie
lady
Smith,
whose
no.
husband used to watch porn films.
No, she's not my type at all. I mean, Amber Rudd, you could say, was not unattractive.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't be... this is very sexist to be saying, you know, would
is
you
it?
Fancy a Home Secretary or not?
Right.
There's an MP down in Portsmouth, near where I live, named Penny Mordaunt.
Penny Mordaunt, yes.
And she went in the celebrity show Splash, right?
So she did, yeah.
So she had to put a bathing costume on.
Yeah.
And the woman has a fine figure, I have to say.
You think so?
That's
I know
right,
somebody knows she's quite good friends with her.
Really?
Do you want me to get you a date?
Come on.
No, apparently she has great difficulty in finding genuinely nice people to
really?
Go out with.
Oh, well, you know, we know where one is, right? Sitting there. Right, now
I'm not available.
Shagger Norris was shagging half of these.
Are you sure it's okay to call him that still?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He was a shagger. He had six girlfriends on the
Shagger Norris, but in those days, you could call people that. It's like Paddy Pantsdown.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, old, you know, Paddy.
All right, well, let me tell you this. When he was known as Shagger Norris, okay, when he was known as Shagger Norris in those years, he had about six girlfriends on the go at once.
Right.
He sometimes had two dinners a night to entertain two different women and all this kind of stuff. And when we employed him at Talk Sport, you know, I said, Steve, how's it going? He says, it's going very well, but of course, you know, working all week in Parliament, then coming here on Sunday. But if Mrs. Norris wants a new kitchen, and I'm thinking, which Mrs. Norris are we talking about here? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, look at David Mellor. I mean, the idea that this guy can get to shag anybody is only due to the fact that he was a cabinet minister.
Yeah.
And yeah. I was saying, well, how many fucking countries are you going to go
that's
through
right,
here?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Hitler invading Europe.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's right.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists assign a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.